I have a fear of old age. I don't know if that's anything that anybody else in this room shares. Perhaps you're too young. It's been with me as long as I can remember. And most of the time, it really doesn't affect me very much. And then Elle rolls around each and every year. Then we get to the end of Elul, and we start saying slichos. And each and every time we say the slichos, we get to the end, the pinnacle of the tefillah itself. We open up the aron, we say Shema Kaleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Chus Verachim Aleinu, God, listen to us. God, hear us. And then it comes crashing down on me. Because we say, God, Al tashlicheni lies zikna, kechlos kochenu al tazmin. We say to God, Al tashlicheni lies zikna, do not abandon us in old age, kechlos kochenu al tazmin, when our strength has been sapped. Do not leave us. And to me, it's the perfect horror. I'm already afraid of growing old. I'm already afraid of what that means. And here we suggest that God, when we need Him most, when we're most frail, may abandon us. God, don't leave me when I need you most. God, when I get old and gray, don't leave me stranded. What does it mean? What are we asking God for? Why would He do such a thing? So I think the simple understanding of the line is as follows. I think Al tashlicheinu lies zikna is a reference when Chazal put it in here. The words come from David HaMelech and Tehillim. But Chazal put it in here, they mean not only physical strength, but they mean our own inner strength as well. It's a prayer to God where we say, God, when I don't have the strength to do what I know I need to do, when my defenses are down, when I'm weak, help me out. Because I know I'm going to need. Or in other words, what we're saying is we're standing at our slichos, we're standing at each and every one of our tefillos on Yom Kippur, and we're saying to God as follows, God, I am now standing in a moment of clarity, where things are clear to me. I know what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. I know right from wrong. I'm beating my chest. I get it. I know I've done things that are wrong, and I'm set my mind to do it right next time. But I also know that it's not going to be easy. I also know that today Yom Kippur is Wednesday, tomorrow is Thursday. And today I'm going to say, there are certain things that I've been doing, and I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do them again. And then it comes Thursday, and you know what? You're back in the same situation. And you're surrounded by friends, and they're not exactly helping. You find yourself in a scenario, a circumstance, where it's really tempting. And just yesterday you said, I'm not going to. But now you find yourself in that situation and you're so close. You're in an ace zikna. You're in a moment of frailty, of weakness, a lack of strength. And so we call out to God now at a moment of clarity. And we say, God, help me out. Because I know this isn't going to be easy. And you know what? I may not even deserve it. Maybe I shouldn't have put myself in that situation at all. Maybe I made some bad decisions that will put me there. Don't abandon me. at the 869. Don't abandon me, because that's what I need you most. For me, though, when I read these words in our Slichos, although I know the simple understanding of it is, Al Tashlicheni Le'es Zikna means Al Tashlicheni Likshehagia. Likshenagia, when we arrive at old age. I can't help but read it in a literal fashion as well, and that scares me even more. Because you know what it means, read literally? Al Tashlicheni Le'es Zikna. Do not send me off into old age. Al Tashlicheni Le'es Zikna. Don't cast me off, not when I'm old, but don't throw me into old age. And that strikes a chord with me, because I don't want to get old. And so each and every year I read this, and I call out to God and say, don't make me get old. Why? Why? Mid-November, we will have the honor of hosting Rabbi Shlomo Riskin here in our school. Rabbi Riskin, for those who don't know, one of the great Torah personalities in the world today, is the chief rabbi of Efrat, a person with a truly remarkable life story and life accomplishments. In 1970, Rabbi Riskin was a young pulpit rabbi on the west side of New York. And he had shown some real ability in terms of reaching out to the unaffiliated, bringing other people in. And he got a message in the summer of 1970 from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe wanted him to go to the Soviet Union. At that time, a very dangerous place for Jews to live, a very dangerous place for Jews to visit, a dangerous place for American Jews to visit. And he wanted him to go and make certain contacts in the Jewish community there and begin to establish an underground yeshiva beyond the Iron Curtain of the Soviet Union. And so Rabbi Riskin packed up his things, they made arrangements, he made contacts, he knew who he was supposed to meet, where, when. They created an itinerary and off he went in the summer of 1970 to the Soviet Union. And he recounts the different places that he visited along his way. He spent two Shabbos in there, and on the second Shabbos, the following took place. Rabbi Riskin attended a shul. Shuls were allowed to function, but they were allowed to function with very specific guidelines. You were allowed to have tefillah there, but nothing else. Come in, say your prayers, go home. And Rabbi Riskin was given the kibbutz, the honor, of taking out the Sefer Torah and putting it back. Now, as he's putting the Sefer Torah back into the Aron Kodesh, the Gabbai walks up behind him and whispers in his ear, when davening is over, make sure there's nobody following you. If there isn't, head down to the basement. We'll meet you there. Rabbi Riskin was intrigued. Following davening, although he had thought people were following him earlier that day, they didn't seem to be there at the time. He made sure nobody was following him. And instead of heading back to where he was staying, he went down the stairs of the shul, the basement. Lights were off. But in the far corner, he saw a few men gathered together. He walks over and they whisper to him every week after davening, this is what we do. We get together in the dark for vodka and Torah. We drink a little, savor some Torah, and this gets us through from week to week. And today we have a rabbi with us from the United States. We would love to hear some Torah. Tell us something. Talk to us. And so Rabbi Riskin did, and he gave over some Torah, and they had some drinks, and he gave over some more Torah, and at a certain point, he turns to them and says, listen, I'm out. I would like to hear something from you. Tell me some Torah. Rabbi Riskin writes that this is what
a Russian Jew, in the basement of a Soviet Union shul, said to him one Shabbos.
He says that the Gemara tells us about a man named Elisha ben Avuya, Acher. A man who was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, but struggled deeply with his faith. And the Gemara tells us that Elisha ben Avuya witnessed two incidents in particular that convinced him to abandon everything. Incident number one, he saw a young boy following the directions of his father to go and get an egg from a nest. And he climbs up to get the egg, and he first does the mitzvah of Shemulach HaKan. He sends the mother bird off. He takes the egg, and on his way down to bring it to his father, the branch snaps, and the boar dies. And Elisha ben Avuya looks at this, and he says, Zu Torah v'zu schara. This is Torah, and this is its reward. The Torah says you get more life for honoring your parents. The Torah says you get long life for sending away a mother's bird. This kid did both. And this is his reward. And the second incident recorded in the Gemara differently in two places is that Elisha ben Avuya saw a great scholar. Some say it was Rabbi Yehuda, the baker, the machtom. Some say it was Chutzpis, the Torgeman. A great Torah scholar who gave own with a teacher of Torah. And the Romans cut out his tongue. The tongue which shared Torah, the tongue which inspired other people, was being chewed by an animal. It says, Elisha ben Avuya, Zu Torah, Zu Schara. This is what happens when somebody follows Torah. Amen. And the Gemara tells us that, you know, Elisha ben Avuya, he misunderstood what the Torah means. Because when the Torah says or makes promises of what one is going to get if one follows, does what they want to do, all of our rewards are not here in this world. They're not all things that we can see, feel, and touch. Some of them come later on. And Elisha ben Avuya didn't understand that. He didn't see that. He thought the reward had to be here and now. And that's why he made his mistakes. And here's what the Russian Jew said. He said, God, I don't understand. God, you told us that a worker has to be paid on the day that he does your work. You can't let a day go by without giving him what he deserves. Well, God, what about us? Are we supposed to believe that it's going to come at some time in the future? You tell us to pay our workers right away. God, that's not fair. Why are you asking something of us like you're not doing yourself? It answers the Russian Jew. The Gemara has an answer for that as well. You see, the Gemara distinguishes when it comes to the laws of who gets paid when between a day worker and a contractor. You see, a day worker, somebody who is employed by the hour, has to be paid that day. But somebody who has a job to do gets paid when they finish the job. Somebody who's got a task to do, no matter how long it takes, doesn't have to be paid that day or the next day. They get paid when the job's done. So it is with us. They don't have to be paid that day or the next. Our payment comes when our job is done. When we figure out what it is we're supposed to be doing here. And we pursue it with everything we have. And so the fear of being cast into old age is perhaps not the fear of growing old or physically old. It's the fear that I may graduate high school and be standing up there in that gym looking around and wondering, my gosh, what did I do with the last 4 years? So many things I could have done. So many opportunities I had.
Gone. Wasted.
I may graduate college 4 years later. I look back and say, wow. If only I had taken the opportunity. I may find myself somewhere in my 20s or my 30s wondering, what did I do for the first half of my life? How did I let it all slip by? Or I might find myself in my 40s or my 50s wondering how I could have let so much time go by without accomplishing something that I'm proud of.
Perhaps David HaMelech also meant, God, help me make sure that I take advantage of what's at my disposal. Let me live here, now, so that I don't find myself sometime down the road saying, how did I get here? What was I doing? Where was I? So we say it now on Yom Kippur when we're reflecting on the past year, for this next year, God, let me make sure for this year, when I'm standing in the same place a year from now, I know how I got here. I know how I spent the last year. I know what I've accomplished. I feel like I'm living. I'm a contractor. I have a job. I have a task. I found it. I'm doing something. I'm making headway. I'm accomplishing something.
Beriskin writes that that Dvar Torah and that Russian shul, that Shabbat, is what inspired him to leave New York, to make Aliyah, and to build a community of friends. So I ask you guys, as we head into Yom Kippur, what will it do for you?
Struggles.